And with me on the phone now from Little Rock, or at least I presume it's Little Rock, is Roby Brock with Talk Business and Politics. Roby, you are in Little Rock?
I might be. You just never know where I'll be.
Well, I know you were up late as election primary results were coming in. Let's first talk about the Republican race for the GOP nominee for governor. Asa Hutchinson won, and won handily.
He did, and let me maybe use a little bit of a sports analogy here. I'm going to mix a couple of football and baseball metaphors. You know when Alabama plays one of those community colleges and beats them like 84-3 or something like that? But this was the equivalent of that kind of beatdown that the governor did on Jan Morgan here in this Republican primary. Another analogy would be it was a bases loaded, out of the park grand slam home run. I mean, he could not have had a better night unless he won by 80-20. But to win by 70-30 against this insurgent candidate who stirred up a lot of dust and a lot of trouble in the Republican Party primary, for him to win as easily as he did, as handily as he did, of all of the big winners last night, he is the biggest of the big winners.
Does that now change anything for the governor as he goes into the general election or goes into the next legislative cycle?
Well, I think it changes for a couple of things. Number one, I think he's always wanted to run from a general election position, which the governor is, you know, he's right of center, but he's also moderate and pragmatic on a lot of issues. I think you'll see him pivot and talk about some issues now that he had to go a little bit further to the right and talk a bit more about some of his more conservative principles in this Republican primary. I think he'll get to some issues that will be persuasive to independent voters and even some Democrats that like him here as he moves into the general election. As far as a legislative agenda, a couple of vocal critics of his in the state legislature, particularly on the state Senate end, Brian King, state senator, and state senator Linda Collins-Smith, both lost their races last night. The governor will have the allies in those seats down in the Senate. I think his legislative agenda got much easier after last night's election.
All right, let's turn to the Supreme Court. No one is surprised that it is a runoff. Are we at all surprised of the two survivors?
Well, I don't think anybody had a good feel for how this race was going to land. I'm going to go ahead and admit I was way off base with my gut instincts. I actually thought Judge Hickson would lead the ticket in this one. He finished third, as we all know. I just felt like he had a bigger base of support than either of the other two candidates in the race with his Northwest Arkansas credentials there. But it was still a tight race all the way around, and so there's not a whole lot of distance or votes separating all three of the contestants. Not a surprise that it went to a runoff. Probably not a surprise that Justice Goodson and David Sterling are in the runoff. There's some pretty easy logic to apply that would suggest that they could be there. For starters, David Sterling's very well connected to Republican Party circles and worked that chicken dinner circuit pretty hard. I've saw him at a lot of places through social media where there were a lot of gatherings of Republicans. Didn't see him at any Democratic events, but, you know, it's a nonpartisan race. And he was the beneficiary of all the dark money that came in that really trashed both Hickson and Goodson. I thought Goodson did something pretty smart on the ballot this year. When you read the nonpartisan ballot, she was listed as State Supreme Court Justice Courtney Goodson. That let people know who didn't have an opinion in that race that she was the sitting state Supreme Court Justice. So I think she probably benefited a little bit in terms of name on the ballot from that. And I think there was a backlash against some of the dark money that was spent against her. I don't know how much I can put in that in terms of a percentage, but it certainly worked to her benefit. This race will be in a runoff in November. Expect the dark money to play again. We'll see what the result will be. I'm not really sure. Courtney Goodson is going to have to come up with a strategy to combat it more than earned media like she did this time.
Yesterday on our program, John Brummett was talking with you, and he mentioned a couple of legislative races. He said if this is really the year of the woman, at least in Arkansas, he pointed to a central Arkansas liberal district and a Northwest Arkansas predominantly blue district where women were running. And both of them, Tippi McCullough in Little Rock and Nicole Clowney in Northwest Arkansas, won.
And both won pretty comfortably, as a matter of fact, against some legitimate and strong male contenders in that primary. So, yeah, I think that another illustration of how powerful women are in this election cycle and were in this primary is go look at the 2nd District Congressional race, even though Clark Tucker won that without a runoff, and he had a lot of female support. The second place finisher by a large margin over her 3rd and 4th place finishers was Gwen Combs, who came out of the Me Too movement and some of the women's marches and the Moms Demand group. She topped 20%, which is a really respectable showing for a first-time candidate that didn't have any money. So, I definitely think that there's something stirring around in the water. I think that women will be a powerful force going into the general election. Will that translate into a blue wave across the state of Arkansas? I'm not convinced of that just yet, but I do think that it makes it more difficult for Republicans to win wholesale as they've done in the past. And I do think that where we've seen Republicans win some districts by 8, 9, or even 10 points, those margins shrink significantly in the general election in 2018. Whether or not Democrats can push it across the line for victory for themselves remains to be seen.
I suppose there have been some Democrats yelling at me over the past few minutes, because when we were talking about Governor Asa Hutchinson, I said, would his large victory matter when it came to the next legislative cycle? I guess I was just assuming that he would beat the man who won the Democratic nomination last night, Jared Henderson. I may be putting the cart before the horse.
Well, I followed you on that assumption as well, which gives you all of the indication you need to know that Jared Henderson's got a huge uphill battle if he's going to win in November. And I think that he will be underfunded, number one. He will be out-endorsed, number two. The state still leans Republican. We've seen in Governor Asa Hutchinson's poll numbers with general election voters, he does well with Republicans. He does very well with independents, and he does even have some Democratic support. So I think for Jared Henderson, he did not do a great job of introducing himself to voters in this primary season. He was largely unknown up until a very, 10 days before Election Day, when he did pop some money out there for some introductory ads, and they were really well done. I think he could have maybe earned a little bit more name ID by coming out with those earlier or finding some other issues to run about. But in the general election, he's got to find one or two good issues that differentiate him from Governor Asa Hutchinson. If this becomes a November election of Governor Hutchinson versus Governor Hutchinson light, Governor Hutchinson is going to win. So Jared Henderson's got to find a battle or two to pick with Asa Hutchinson where he's got a winning message. And I don't know what that is, and I haven't heard him express it yet. That's the big challenge for Jared Henderson.
Finally, if you took all the minutes that we used discussing and contemplating and analyzing, and all the minutes that candidates spent putting up yard signs and campaigning and standing outside of courthouses to get people to vote, and divided it by the number of people that voted in this primary, it's a pretty depressing number.
$13.12, Kyle. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what the per voter cost would be, but it's tough. And primaries are tough in and of themselves. I mean, they generally don't draw as many people out to vote. This was a non-presidential election year as well, which compounds that situation even further. People tend to get more ginned up for the big race for president than they do in the non-presidential election years. I don't know how you reverse voter apathy. Again, I think we've seen some new people injected in the voter system, particularly females, particularly on the Democratic side. And it's just really, it's incumbent upon people to be interested and politicians to give them reasons to be interested. But when you do see some of the things happening nationally, in terms of the political climate, it discourages some people from caring about politics. And I think in this election cycle for the primary, it was really more about the fact that primaries tend to have poor turnouts, and people don't understand, that you're really picking the nominees for the fall election. And so you need to get out and make your choices.
Much more analysis available at talkbusiness.net throughout the week. Roby Brock is with Talk Business and Politics. Roby, thank you for your time.
Good to be with you, Kyle.